The scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. This is the story of Passover. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb from each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until morning. Anything that remains until the morning, you shall burn with fire. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, from human to animal, and on the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. Where I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be the day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." Here ends the reading.
Thank you. Thank you, Ahito. Everyone, please join me in prayer. God of centuries past, present, and future, God of the Jews and of Jesus, this morning we gather to learn and hear your word. May these meditations of my heart be a blessing for us today. Amen. Good morning, everyone. So, today's scripture is from the book of Exodus. It is a story of revolution and liberation of the Jewish people from Egypt and the Egyptian powers of the time. This book is one of the most foundational for Jewish identity and continues to be a powerful story for all of the Abrahamic faiths. Stories like these remind us that God values community and works with us to create change in us. But God also offers us a choice to see ourselves differently and to choose to revolutionize who we are and where we want to be. Today, our scripture comes from Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 14, where the Passover is being instituted by God. It is the mark of the beginning of the new year and the Passover festival for our Jewish siblings. For clarity, the Passover is not now. It is in April, just so we know. This is just the verse of our lectionary this morning. But it is a celebration of the promise of God and the liberation of Jews from Egyptian slavery. And the verse describes instructions for the Jews in Egypt and what they're expected to do in order for the final plague to pass over them and protect them. In this particular chapter we're looking at today, it's not the instituted practice. We don't see a lot of Jews burning the one-year-old lambs and things like that. Later is the actual ritual that gets instituted and continues to be done today. But it is the foundations for this festival season. So this passage is referenced in other texts like Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verse 15, and chapter 7 through 18, as a reminder of the Jews' time as slaves and a reminder of their identity as people chosen to live and work alongside God. And then in remembering what they have experienced and how that has shaped them, then they will hopefully be able to make more informed decisions about who they want to be as a society. A lot of Jewish history is remembering, remembering. A lot of what we do is also remembering. The book of Exodus itself, story of liberation and pilgrimage and revolution, leading to the co-creation of a new world with God. This text holds a rich theology of who God is to the Jews and how God might interact with us. There's another story that I've seen recently that also holds a rich theology of God. And if you're looking at me, you might know what story I'm talking about. If you're not looking at me or are listening on the podcast, I'm wearing a Barbie shirt. The Barbie movie came out July 21st, 2023. So as of right now, it's been out for roughly 2 months as of today. And it's caught a lot of people's attention. Real quick, this sermon is full of spoilers. I'm so sorry if you have not seen the movie. It has been out a while, but I highly recommend going to see it. So let me give you a quick background of the Barbie movie. This is going to be the fastest synopsis you've ever heard. There are Barbies who are life-sized women, and they live in Barbie Land. Barbie Land is a place that exists alongside the real world, but cannot be accessed unless you go through a very specific order of transportation: a sports car, a tandem bike, a camping van, a rollerblades, so on and so forth. Most people are not aware that Barbie Land exists. Our main Barbie of the story is Stereotypical Barbie. That's her title, is Stereotypical Barbie. She looks exactly the way you think she does. It's Margot Robbie. She starts to experience some changes in herself that lead her to go to the real world, in order to find the child who is playing with her and help her. So the Barbies exist in Barbie Land, and the Barbies exist as Barbies in the real world. Right? Great. Upon finding her child, who is actually an adult woman named America Ferreira — that's not her name in the movie, but we'll refer to her as America — she takes her back to Barbie Land and to show her how wonderful Barbie Land is. Because Barbie Land is run by Barbies. The Barbies are the ones that call the shots, make the laws, have Barbie dream houses, dance parties, do all these fun things. But unfortunately, Ken went with Barbie to the real world and discovered patriarchy. And so Ken decided to take back his version of patriarchy to Barbie Land, turning it into Ken World or Ken Land or something like that. Basically, set it on fire. So now all the Barbies have been brainwashed to essentially serve the Kens as leaders of Barbie Land. And of course, Barbie is devastated and basically gives up immediately. She's been through a lot. Until America, Barbie's child, helps her to find her footing and restores Barbie Land to what it once was. And they only could do this using the knowledge of patriarchy from the real world, right? So at the end, there's a question. We've gone through all of this. Ken's made his own self-discoveries. Barbie as well has been through a lot. And so they're talking about endings. What's Barbie's ending? And of course, someone is like, well, Barbie is in love with Ken. That's her happy ending, right? No. Barbie immediately is like, that's not going to work for me. That's actually very untrue. I don't love Ken the way that Ken loves me, right? So now, this is where some of that theology comes in. So previously, Barbie had briefly met the ghost of her creator, Ruth Handler, who is the creator of Barbie. During this very brief meeting with her, Barbie has a little bit of a heart-to-heart, Barbie and Ruth. And then later they meet again at the end of the movie. But that first interaction is important because we get a glimpse into what Barbie's creator thinks of Barbie and thinks of the world, right? And for any person of faith, especially in ours, it's the age-old question of how does our creator see the world? How does our creator see us? For Ruth, Barbie is just right. Barbie tells her, I'm so sorry, usually I'm perfect. And Ruth says, oh, I think you're just right. Barbie feels a little bit of relief, and then she's like, the real world is not at all what I expected it to be. And Ruth goes, It never is it? And isn't that marvelous? If we look at the Exodus story, we find people at their lowest, but God sees them. God sees them and says that they are just right. God believed in them and worked with the Jews to leave Egypt. And it wasn't all smooth sailings. There was a lot of resistance from the Jews in leaving Egypt for an unknown world with very little security and basically no familiarity. How could they know they would survive? Now, I'm not saying that these two situations are equal in weight at all. But in both, we see different ways of being with God. Barbie essentially leaves her version of the Garden of Eden and goes out to discover the real world, and then returns to Eden to help it grow and change and be better. But then in the end, still chooses to live in the real world, become a real person, a real human. And at the end of the Barbie movie, Barbie talks with Ruth again and asks her if it's okay that she becomes a human. She's asking permission. And Ruth looks at her and says, "I can't give you permission. That's your choice." The Jews in Egypt did not return to Egypt, but did choose to create their own lives with God. Barbie finds liberation in knowledge and in growing closer to her creator by choosing a life in the real world. Neither of these stories end with a happily ever after either. Their stories continue. And for Barbie, her story was left pretty open-ended. We don't see her ride off into the sunset with Ken or establish a real life in the real world with a job or purpose. She actually ends up going to a doctor's appointment. You'll find out about that if you watch it. And with the ancient Jews, they just continue to face more challenges. As soon as they leave Egypt, they're in the wilderness. And none of those original people who left Egypt find Canaan. They are in the wilderness so long that it's all new people that find the land of milk and honey. And even then, their story continues with its ups and downs. So our relationship to God is not based on seeking a happily ever after. Oftentimes, we find ourselves just starting a new chapter or a new season. For the Jews, it took leaving a place of abuse and fighting for a future they had hopes of creating for themselves. For Barbie, it was having her world flipped upside down and redefining who she is and who she wants to be that led her to choosing to exist in a new way. We all find different paths with God, and they are not always linear or clear, but always require us to be open and listening, to be ready, to prepare for change and be willing to do what is necessary to create change. And sometimes to redefine ourselves and seek knowledge and use it to make informed decisions about who we are and who we want to be, to create change in the world and make it better. So I pray as a community, we remember our past and use it with our new knowledge to create a better future with God. Amen.